You're listening to Andrew Haunt's Rock Revival with me, Andrew Haunt. That's why my name is in the title, really. I used to be a music journalist working for Powerplay Rock and Metal magazine and a bunch of other websites. And I used to do interviews and reviews of stuff, and I miss it. So this show is me talking about classic and obscure rock and metal albums from throughout the ages. And this episode, I'm going to talk about Never Neverland, the second album by Canadian metal legends Annihilator. Now, while many people may think of other bands when it comes to thrash metal, they may think of Metallica, Megadeth, Slayer, Testament, Exodus, the usual suspects. For me, one of the pivotal bands in that scene and indeed all of heavy music is Annihilator, the brainchild of guitar player Jeff Waters. Now, the man is an incredible guitar player. He's crazy talented. The precision of his picking is something else. It's absolutely phenomenal. Where the band does lack is a consistency of lineup throughout the years, which may have contributed to them being something still of a cult band even after all these years. They have a phenomenal amount of music out, an incredible number of releases out, and those releases are pretty much all of the same high quality. Now, the second album followed the debut, of course. Of course it would. It's the second album. What am I talking about? And that debut, Alice in Hell, is regarded as a classic of the genre that is undisputable. For me personally, it's Never Neverland, which takes the edge over that in that initial album, probably because it was the first album I heard by Annihilator. I just heard it at the right point in my life, as with most things that I talk about on this show. So it was originally released in September 1990, this album, and I didn't really hear all of it until sometime in 1992, when I was about 14. I remember very clearly absolutely falling in love with the track Stonewall, which was a video track from that album, and it just blew my mind. There's something about the guitar tone that didn't sound like other guitar tones I was familiar with at the time. So I was listening to a lot of Iron Maiden and Def Leppard and, you know, Megadeth and things like that, but there's something about Jeff's guitar tone which was just really different. It was very precise. I could tell that some of it had been edited slightly. There's a little bit of clipping to some of the riffs, which made them very precise and very staccato. And I loved that. It really spoke to me. I really appreciated that sound at the time. I picked up the album eventually after falling in love with that song on tape. Of course, you know, I was a kid of the tape era. I loved tapes. And then I could really dive into it and really experience what this whole thing was about. Now, the guitar tone aside, there is some fantastic songwriting on here. There's some great thrash moments throughout the album. There's some great traditional metal moments throughout the album. There's a lot going on throughout it. So the lineup on this album, from what I remember, was Jeff Waters on all guitars and Cobain Farr on vocals, with Wayne Darley on bass and Ray Hartman on drums. Now, while Cobain Farr was never the greatest vocalist of all time, he had a nice raspy tone to his voice, and he was singing clean. He wasn't grunting, he wasn't growling, and that for me made it a bit more exciting, a bit more compelling. So this is round about the time I was getting into thrash and death properly, but for me, I prefer a clean vocalist. That's personal taste. I prefer clean vocals. That's just how it is. On this album, Cobain Farr is excellent, but it's really down to the precision. So it's such a precise approach that Annihilator has always had that made this such a success in my eyes. There's 10 tracks on the original release of the album. It opens with the Fun Palace, which has some crazy guitar work just going all over the place. Some really unexpected guitar work. Jeff's approach to solos is not your standard, you know, bends and some shredding. It isn't. It goes in very much hand in hand with the rhythm section. There's some very rhythmic lead playing here, if that's even a good way to describe it. But his lead work is extremely tied to the pace of the song. He's not a lazy player by any stretch of the imagination. So after that, almost 6 minutes of the Fun Palace, we're off to the Road to Ruin, which is a song against drunk driving. It's a great song. Nice chuggy riff to it, followed by Sixes and Sevens again, which has another chuggy riff to it. But that one's a lot faster, that one's a lot heavier and a lot meaner. This is followed by Stonewall, which is way more melodic. I didn't expect the album to be quite so heavy as it is, because Stonewall, out of all the songs on Never Neverland, it is pretty melodic, to be honest. So I can see why it was chosen for the video song, but I don't think it's really indicative of what else was coming on the album. Now, following that is the title track Never Neverland, which is honestly one of the greatest heavy metal songs ever written. It's got that wonderful clean intro that goes into some really characteristically precise and odd lead playing by Jeff, and the whole story of Claire that's in there. There's a very strange story to the song Never Neverland. I do recommend that you check it out. And that does hold the attention for all of the 5.5 minutes length that it presents there. This is followed by Imperiled Eyes, which is a badass piece of heavy metal. Really fast. There's some high-pitched vocals, a la Angel of Death by Slayer in there. There's some really fast riffs. It's a real punch to the head of a song. It's just stunning, that. What a fantastic thrash metal song, and pretty much perfectly sums up the era, in my eyes, anyway. Kraft Dinner is the seventh track. If you're not familiar with what Kraft Dinner is, it's mac and cheese. It's a thrash metal song about mac and cheese. I mean, why not? You know, it was never said that thrash metal bands couldn't have a sense of humour. And, you know, this is a perfect example of a thrash metal band showing off that they do have a sense of humour, or that they just really, really like mac and cheese. Could be either. Phantasmagoria is next. Track 8 is Phantasmagoria. Now, this had been around in the band for a few years beforehand in different versions. There's a really good version of this with Jeff on vocals, doing like a proper growly vocal to it, a proper, you know, demonic thrash metal vocal to it. But I prefer the album one. I prefer the one that showed up on Never Neverland with Cobain Farr's vocals. It's a badass song, a chunky song. It's got a really good rhythm to it, and you're just going to love that one. I believe that one is a real, genuine masterpiece of the genre. Thankfully, the pace is kept up for the last two songs on the album. Reduced to Ash is another badass, fast thrash metal song, followed by I Am In Command. Seriously, a lot of albums may end on a darker note or a slower note or a ballad or something epic. With this album, with Never Neverland by Annihilator, you are getting your money's worth. Honestly, it's fast, it's hard, it's heavy, it's hugely memorable, and totally recommended. I think that's a really good way to refer to Annihilator, really. They are good value for money. You pay for the album, you pay for the item, and by God, you are getting every penny of that money that you spend on that album. There isn't a weak moment on it. I do think that on the whole, the second half of the album is a bit more coherent than the first, especially with the last three tracks being Phantasmagoria, Reduced to Ash, and I'm In Command. They are a perfect trio. The sequencing of this album is really clever. It works really, really well for that whole 1-2-3 punch of that is just perfect. But really, everything that Annihilator has put out has been very good value for money. I mean, after this album, there was Set the World on Fire. I think it was Set the World on Fire that came after this. And while that had a different vocalist, you know, it had a different lineup to Never Neverland, it still had a lot of stuff going on for it, a lot of positives going on for it, and a lot of value. Again, you'd got really good songwriting, extremely precise musicianship, some really memorable tunes, and you never felt shortchanged with it. Never, ever felt shortchanged with it. And that has been true about every album. Some of them have arguably been better quality than others. However, it is consistently high quality throughout the band's entire career, no matter who is at the microphone or who is at the drum stool, or indeed the bass, or indeed anything else that gets involved there. Because the central aspect of Annihilator is Jeff Waters, there is a central consistency to their output, which is just fabulous. After Set the World on Fire, the album that followed that was King of the Kill, which had a different approach entirely. It was a bit more of an organic sounding album. It felt a little bit more analog than what had gone before, and had Jeff on vocals. This followed by albums like Refresh the Demon or the industrial-tinged Remains, before getting back to basics with Criteria for a Black Widow in 1999. The lineup, again, went a bit weird after that with albums Carnival Diabolus and Waking the Fury, both of which are damn fine thrash metal albums, but the internal inconsistency of the lineup, I think, stopped them really attaining the level they should have with those albums. All For You is a new one was one that was a bit of a watershed for Annihilator, as that one featured the debut of Dave Padden on vocals and guitar. And he was an excellent, excellent member of the band. He was with them for a long, long time. In fact, I think he was with them for about a decade, maybe a little over a decade, and became a recognizable part of the band. So after All For You, there was Schizo Deluxe, Metal in 2007, Metal in 2000, actually, Schizo Deluxe was a great Annihilator record, but Metal in 2007 saw a bit of a watershed moment for the band, really, because it was absolutely chock full of guest stars. Now, I could probably do an episode all about that album on its own, but this is focusing on Never Neverland. But the number of people that were on the Metal album, I mean, really got it a lot of attention. There's Jeff Loomis, Danko Jones, and Angela Gossow, Steve Kudlow from Anvil, Alexei Laiho, the late great Alexei Laiho, Angus Bueller, Michael Amott, Jesper Strombad. There's members of Trivium on there, all kinds of people. Even Dan Beeler showed up on there from Exciter, doing a cover of the legendary and seminal metal song Heavy Metal Maniac. I will cover Exciter on an episode soon. But yeah, this is talking about Annihilator's second album, Never Neverland. The promise of that album is something that has echoed throughout their entire career. Arguably, I would say personally, it's more Never Neverland that has echoed throughout the career rather than Alice in Hell. I totally recognise that Alice in Hell is a classic of the genre, and is the seminal Annihilator album for many, and the perfect Annihilator album for many. But for me, it's Never Neverland where it really all kind of gelled together, and the sound kind of gelled together and became what it could, and really delivered the goods. And that's something that Jeff has been doing ever since, is delivering the goods in every possible way. Annihilator's second album, Never Neverland, is one of the pinnacles of the heavy metal genre, in my opinion. Something I would like to talk about is the production of Never Neverland. Now, co-produced by Glenn Robinson and Jeff Waters himself, with Glenn Robinson also handling some of the engineering and mixing, with some more engineering from Steve Royer. It's got a unique sound to it, this strange futuristic sound. Now, there was a bit of a movement at the time with thrash metal being very precise, a little bit futuristic, talking and speaking of the end times and so on. If you look at bands like Megadeth, or if you go heavier and look at bands like Nocturnus, there's a little space age sci-fi feel to it. Not overtly in the lyrics or anything like that, but there is something futuristic and a little bit digital about the way it is constructed and the way the production has been approached. That's not to say that the music sounds cold or lifeless or inhuman or anything like that. It really doesn't. It couldn't sound any more human and composed than this, but it does have an odd guitar tone to it. I mentioned the guitar tone earlier, and it is a unique selling point of this album, and indeed a lot of the output of the band is that they definitely have their very own sound, and it's a really good production. It does have some middle, in some cases with albums that are older, you find that there isn't much mid-range. It's all either treble or bass. There's a nice middle range going on there with Annihilator's Never Neverland, which I've always appreciated. I do also have to call out the artwork. The cover art for Never Neverland is beautiful. It is this haunting, really haunting painting by Len Rooney, who had also previously done the Alice in Hell cover. But the cover of Never Neverland, it depicts a really, really haunting landscape. So in the distance, there is a mountain with a storm going on behind it. In the sky, you're seeing lightning crackling, forming a face, a ghostly face in the sky, which is overlooking what appears to be the body of a young girl with a doll lying dormant in some water, at the like a pier or a little piece of ground in the front of it. It's a really haunting piece. There is something about it that is quite unsettling. in the best way. It was from an era where a lot of albums did still have painted covers. Things hadn't gone quite the way of photographic covers or computer enhanced covers by that point. And this is a beautiful example of a painted cover that still holds a lot of power now. It's a very cool cover, and mixed with the very cool trademark pointy bright red Annihilator logo. It's a rare logo metal that really is readable and really does sum them up well. Coupled with that, I think you've got a pretty much perfect cover. And to be honest, Never Neverland isn't that far from being a perfect album in my eyes anyway. And I do hope that you, if you haven't checked it out, do give it a listen. If you haven't listened to it in a while, surprise yourself. It will surprise you when you pop it on and crank it. It's damn fine. It's a perfect example of why Annihilator became so well respected in the metal scene for so long. Honestly, it's fantastic. So that's my little look at Never Neverland by Annihilator. Do check it out. I hope you enjoy it. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. If so, please subscribe. It's available on YouTube. It's available on Amazon Music. It's available on Google Podcasts and Spotify and all kinds of places. Please do like and subscribe. Drop me a comment. Share an episode here and there if you hear something you like. I do really, really appreciate it. I've been Andrew Haunt, and this has been my Rock Revival.